Shalom, Mishpacha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, tada, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. Tonight we will continue in a similar vein as last week, this time actually reading some scriptures that contain the idiomatic Hebraic phrase of...
in that day or the day.
This term is essential to correctly understand eschatology. But first, let's praise our King.
We do praise you, O Lord. You are the King of Kings and Lord over all. Because of you, we can face tomorrow. Because of you, we have unceasing joy and perfect peace, because our eyes are stayed on you. Thank you for your word that comforts us and sustains us. We pray for a speedy recovery for those who are sick among us, and for our loved ones who are still spiritually sick and need your salvation. We pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And until we hear that last trumpet shout, give us your dunamis power to be better evangelists as we know you expect us to be. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, before we get into teaching, of course, I have some thoughts on President Biden's trip to the Middle East.
Yeah, I heard he visited Israel first.
He did, and originally I thought his words were promising by voicing an ironclad commitment to them that Iran cannot have nuclear bombs. However, Biden, besides reminding them of how much money he has given them, he failed to mention why he is holding up certain military equipment Israel has asked for.
Because they might use it on Iran.
Well, exactly, and put a cloud around Biden's deal that has already been presented to Iran, and we are told, without the go-ahead from Congress.
Which is a no-no.
Biden also said, and this is important, that he is in favor of a two-state solution, which means dividing the Jews' sovereignty over Jerusalem.
And that will be God's last straw.
When that division is solidified, it will begin Jacob's trouble.
But Biden does support the Abraham Accords.
Which is good, if it's not an edited accord that adds the dividing of Jerusalem. Again, if it does, it would fulfill the Daniel 9:27 agreement. And Biden did say Jerusalem should be for all the nations, not just Israel's.
But in other words, international.
And he also told Israel in a press interview that only as a last resort would he help Israel to preempt Iran's continued progress on getting the nuke.
Adding he thinks diplomacy with Iran is the way to go.
He sure did. But immediately, the interim Prime Minister Lapid, and good for him, responded emphatically that diplomacy with Iran just does not work.
And it will not work, I might add.
Regardless of how much money we give Iran. And it's billions of our tax dollars.
Just add it to our debt list.
Prime Minister Lapid also added in a somewhat rebuking tone that Israel is a free nation, and so said this.
The free world will use force.
And again, we are glad he openly said that, for now Iran can have no doubts about Israel's intentions.
Which should speed things up.
Right, closer to our departure.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Iran is preparing with Russia and others, as in Turkey, joining together for the War of Gog and Magog that many think is World War III, predicted by the Freemasons many years ago.
So, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38.
Yes. And actually, this very week, Russia, Iran, which, by the way, is Persia in Ezekiel 38, along with Turkey, are meeting face-to-face.
Wow. Prophecy at its finest.
Yeah, and we are alive to watch it all come together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, then after removing his Israeli flag pin, Biden went to meet with 87-year-old Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas, and after a very warm welcome, told the boss that right now is not the time for negotiations.
In other words, no peace agreement.
Right, which made me think the Abraham Accords might actually be setting the groundwork for the agreement of Daniel 9. And when Abbas sees it coming together, the Palestinians will join in with that agreement.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Well, we see things more clearly when the Holy Spirit decides we should, which is why we understand prophecy better now than 50 years ago, which follows Daniel 12, verse 4.
Knowledge will increase.
And boy, is it. Yeah.
Yes, that's that's a great example of the rapture.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, because we always felt that he could come back at any moment, which was what God wanted his church to feel back then. But now the Holy Spirit is revealing clearer truths right from Scripture that he will return in the fall at the harvest. And we understand that more clearly now because the Holy Spirit has highlighted our Hebraic roots to the Last Days Church. We know that after Ephesus, the church of the Smyrna age was severely persecuted and martyred, and our Hebraic roots teaching was stifled. And then the Pergamos church with Emperor Constantine brought in paganism. And about 300 years later came the Universal Church of Thyatira.
Who brought in the bishops and the popes.
And they entered the Dark Ages, where our roots were almost nil, even though they obtained many artifacts from the temple's destruction by the Romans. And by the way, they still have some. Anyhow, by 1517 and Martin Luther's Reformation of Sardis, our Hebrew roots were still not restored. In fact, even the Holy Spirit was stifled.
Until the Church of Philadelphia.
Yes, around 1740, when the Holy Spirit really shows up and great revivals of justification by faith alone and not by adding works to our salvation. And it's to this church age that he promises to keep us from the time of trial that will come upon the whole earth.
The tribulation.
But the real Hebrew roots of our faith were still under a basket until finally in 1948 when Israel became a nation and the last generation was being born. The Holy Spirit slowly started bringing back the teaching of our roots. Now, some expect the teaching and accept it well, which is not legalism, by the way. For you probably know there is a movement that does that, but we do not, because Jesus set us free from the law. Rather, it's the knowledge.
As in understanding his appointments.
Yes, and certain idiomatic phrases used in Paul's day that specifically means something important to know. Back in the 90s, I was totally Holy Spirit-led to teach eschatology. By using the knowledge of our Hebraic roots heritage. After all, we used to call our faith Judeo-Christianity.
When did they drop the Judeo part?
Well, not sure. But now it's back to a remnant, and it's not in the Church of Laodicea. And again, understand, if nothing else, how Yeshua freed us from the law.
Galatians 3.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Hebraic roots really did take a hold of me.
It certainly is your calling.
Well, and a woman, no less, with a Catholic background, having parents who were a little anti-Semitic, but I always desired to know him more and better. And there's still much more coming as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us.
Anyhow, back to Biden.
All right, okay, so his last visit was to Saudi Arabia, where he pressed them, accompanied with bribery, for more oil. Prince Salman apparently said he will consider it, but wouldn't be by much and not very soon. But Biden's recollection of what went on behind closed doors, minus the reporters, does not match what the Saudis say happened.
Well, we knew that would be the case.
We did, but wait till we read to you what Prince Salman said soon after the meeting, and I quote,
"Adopting unrealistic policies to reduce emissions by excluding main sources of energy will lead to unprecedented inflation and an increase in energy prices and rising unemployment and a worsening of serious social and security problems."
Guess he's pretty smart, and looks like we're just being laughed at, plain and simple.
Okay, let's move on.
All right. Some quick information that many don't know about.
About immigration?
Yes. Washington is in the process of designing a new online sign-up system that anyone could sign on for from anywhere in the world. So not only can they cross the border illegally to come right in, but could literally come to any airport in America, and if their name's on the list and make an asylum claim, you can come in from anywhere in the world. It is so clear this administration not only doesn't want to stop illegal immigration, they're trying to accelerate it and working to make it more efficient.
And you've got more.
I do. One more. Last year, I remember reading about the Fauci and Collins National Institutes of Health, you know, the NIH. And I read that they had been paying underage children hundreds of dollars to report their homosexual activity on an app called My Peeps.
Apparently, that is true.
Mm-hmm. It's no longer deniable. They are bound and determined to destroy society by corrupting our children. And now, in the latest uncovering of government-funded child corruption, it was discovered that the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, has also been directing children, this time to an online chat forum for underage LGBTQ children.
Which Planned Parenthood runs.
Yes, it does. Ephesians 6 at its finest.
For sure. Okay, and we do welcome your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always appreciated, and we'll be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay. Last week we talked about the idiomatic expression of
in that day,
or some translations say on that day.
And also, the day.
All means the last 1,000 years of history before eternity. So we highly recommend you to go to our archives and listen to last week's program for a detailed look at this important phrase that, let me repeat, always means the last 1,000 years of time before eternity. Scripture says that each of the six 1,000 years of history is just one day to God. Therefore, soon coming is the seventh and the last of the 1,000 years each of time. At the moment of the coming resurrection / rapture will begin the seventh day of rest after the night is over, as the Sabbath portrays. The darkness of night is a picture of the coming tribulation before the light arrives. So, every 24-hour period begins at night, or sundown, according to Genesis, and is still practiced today in Israel.
And why did God arrange it that way?
Well, it's totally a picture.
As in typology.
Yes, because the Bible accounts are first actual literal happenings, but then also a picture of something else. As we said last week, God hides it so we can search for it.
Proverbs 25:2.
Bishop Augustine, before the Dark Ages, said, and would you quote that?
The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is made manifest in the New.
Exactly. So therefore, the nighttime is a picture of the beginning of the seventh day of the last 1,000 years.
So, typifies the tribulation.
And is part of the 1,000 years and not separate, as many charts still show. The tribulation is spiritually very dark. And when it's over, the sun, the light of Jesus, returns and brings us with him to set up his earthly kingdom to finish the seventh day of 993 years.
Okay, so the first 7 years represent the night portion of the seventh day of the last 1,000 years.
Exactly, and then comes the light from heaven of the Messianic kingdom on earth. Again, I have to say it again. The resurrection slash rapture begins the seventh day for us in heaven, for we can't be here down on earth for the night portion. For it is to be really dark, and since we have the light in us, we are restraining the adversary from achieving its full power, which is why we must go, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. So the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years, but it begins for us in heaven and continues down on earth when we return with the light of Yeshua. So to confirm the idiom of in that day, let's look at some scriptures, as in Zechariah 3, verse 10.
In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree.
That clearly is talking about Israel in the millennial kingdom. How about Zechariah 9, verse 16?
The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people.
Israel as a whole will get saved in that day. This is referring to the tribulation, for they will receive him and accept him at the war of Gog and Magog. Same expression for either the tribulation or the millennial kingdom on earth. And we have scripture for their salvation, because Ezekiel 38 tells us that that war will be in that day. So, must be in the tribulation. Please read where Ezekiel is prophesying how Israel's enemies will get an evil thought. Remember, we saw that when it was time for Ahab's judgment, and how God's divine counsel put certain thoughts in Ahab's mind and his ministers in 1 Kings 21, and God okayed it?
Yes.
So, let's read verse 10 of Ezekiel 38.
Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan.
So God's allowing disaster so he can intervene, and they will recognize and accept their Savior, Yeshua.
And where do we see that?
Well, read verse 23 of our Lord's words.
Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many people. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
And confirmed again in Ezekiel 39, verse 22.
So the house of Israel shall know that I am Lord their God from that day forward.
So they get saved in the first half of the tribulation, and he protects those living in Jerusalem when they flee to the wilderness area where their ancestors previously stayed when they fled Egypt, but could not go into the promised land because of unbelief. But this time they will, when their Yeshua Lord leads them in at the end of the tribulation. As well, we have a New Testament scripture that also confirms when they have the testimony of Jesus Christ in Revelation 12:7.
And the dragon was enraged with the woman.
That's meaning Israel.
And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Now this is Satan incarnate in the Antichrist, who chases the Jews as they flee from Jerusalem into the wilderness, as instructed in Matthew 24:16, after they witness the Antichrist sitting in the temple as God, for God's protection for the last half of the tribulation. But God opened the earth so the dragon couldn't go any further.
So, what does the dragon do?
Well, he turns back to go after the other Israelis living north of Jerusalem, who also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, that was a little side road, but let's look at the word "the day," since there are approximately 80 scriptures using that term. I'll just tell you where you can read it in context. Isaiah 13:13.
The day of his fierce anger.
Ezekiel 7:19.
The day of the wrath of God.
Both pointing to the tribulation. So the first 7 years, but then we have verses like Isaiah 49:8.
The day of salvation.
Or Philippians 1:10.
The day of the Messiah.
Or Isaiah 14:3.
The day the Lord gives you rest.
So, those are favorable terms, but still the same day terminology lasting 1,000 years. But it's even more clear when you see the term "in that day." And we already looked at a few, but we have a little bit of time to look at some more. And let's look at the New Testament, Luke 10:12.
But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.
Talking about any city that does not receive his disciples. Clearly the judgment of the tribulation. But what about Zechariah 2:11?
Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people.
Clearly the millennial kingdom, but still the seventh day of 1,000 years. Let's read Zechariah 12:3.
And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it.
Boy, is the handwriting on the wall for that prophecy to be fulfilled. The Palestinian and the Israelis are really arguing about Jerusalem, and the Pope or the next Pope will get involved as well. And, of course, that's just my opinion. But let's read a happy one. Quickly, Zechariah 14:8.
And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur.
Okay, so you see all these quotes refer to the same time period, but the night of judgment comes first and then the millennial kingdom on earth. So when you hear someone say the seven-year tribulation is separate from the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, you can now explain it's the darkness first, then the light, which is why God said way back in Genesis, each day begins at sundown, then comes the light. Honestly, typology is a really good teacher, too. There is not a seven-year tribulation and then a thousand more years of the millennial kingdom on earth. The 1,000 years begins with the resurrection slash rapture. So yes, we get a head start on the millennial kingdom that begins for us in heaven, technically our honeymoon, as we read in Isaiah 26:20-21, where it tells us to enter our bridal chamber, which is our hadar in Hebrew, for a little while until the indignation is over. And then we'll return with him as he finishes the judgment and finishes punishing the wicked for their iniquities, as we also read in Revelation 19. So, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You better do it now. We're running out of time. It's just a simple prayer. Admit that you're a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. And then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. I'm going to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Till next time, Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.